Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
That's fun when there's a lot of shots, and I felt good today, so I just enjoyed it.
That's Anton Forsberg, the Blackhawks goalie, after Tuesday night's 2-1 win in Nashville. A fun game to watch. A little stressful, but the Blackhawks were able to come up with a victory. Welcome, everyone, to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. I'm Chris Bowden, pre- and post-game host for Blackhawks Radio here on 720 WGN, and joined by the Blackhawks Insider on WGNRadio.com. Scott King squeezing me into his schedule before, you know, you go out and have a little fun this week.
A little family trip. Just a couple days to Lake Geneva. I got a mediocre haircut yesterday. I'm ready to go.
It's looking sharp. Thank you. And has looked almost as sharp as the Blackhawks did last night. But the third period was a bit harrowing. And Anton Forsberg can say what he wants, but facing 22 shots in the third period and 43 for the game was a little much. But that's certainly one of the highlights. What else did you like about that Blackhawks Tuesday win in Nashville? By the way, we're recording here on Wednesday afternoon before the Blackhawks continue this three-game road trip post-All-Star break, Vancouver on Thursday and Calgary on Saturday night. What impressed you most about the win in Music City?
Well, yeah, it's funny. Crawford always says he likes to see a lot of shots, too, but it can't be fun to see that many shots.
No, I just think they're being nice to their teammates there.
But so. he did very well defending them all. You know, I liked the way Hinostroza played, obviously. You know, a good back check, and right away he forces that turnover that leads to the Kampf goal to start the game. Then you get some amazing goaltending from Forsberg, who had a really bad turnover behind the net.
Yeah.
And that could have been, it was a costly one. I think Turris was open in the slot there, mm-hmm. put it right in. But he bounced back the way Crawford usually does when there's a soft goal on him. I thought that was pretty admirable. He played great up until that turnover in the second, and he played phenomenal after.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the bugaboos. You hear Troy talk about it on the broadcast. Is one area he's going to have to learn to grow in his game is some of the stick handling. But you know what? When you only have 30, 35 games of NHL experience under your belt so far, even if it's that much, you know, this is a completely different speed of game that he's dealing with, and especially against that team in Nashville. Certainly no excuses for it. A little bit understandable. That's an area where he's going to have to raise his game. What I really liked about it, and you touched a little bit on it, is the Blackhawks beat Nashville kind of at their own game in terms of the forecheck on Vinny Hinostroza did to set up the David Kampf goal. That's something Nashville just killed the Blackhawks on during that playoff series last spring, and even in a couple of instances through the first three meetings of the year this year. I love how the kids were able to step up. It's a big goaltending performance by Anton Forsberg, just like, you know, Rene stood on his head in that spring playoff series a year ago. And finally, the one kind of overlooked thing that Troy was quick to point out on the broadcast too, Patrick Kane absorbing a hit along the boards, knew it was coming, but was able to absorb the hit in order to make the pass that sprung Nick Schmaltz the other way on the way to that Hinostroza goal. That's a superstar making a decision that isn't going to be too comfortable, but you see some of the ramifications of what it led to, and that ends up being the game-winning goal, Scott.
He had trouble getting up after that, too, right? If you were watching it on TV. And, yeah, first of all, that was an amazing goal. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful slap shot on a one-timer right. for Hinostroza, and a great pass by Schmaltz. But, again, it doesn't happen if Kane doesn't take that hit. And that's a guy, one of your skilled players, who probably shouldn't take those hits that you need healthy. But it kind of reminds me in terms of how effective it was in terms of a leader doing it as when Keith set the tone the previous game with a mm-hmm. big hit. So I think that's what's kind of been lacking this season, is you have this young talent that's playing hard, that's fast, that's skilled, that's trying to develop, and the leaders have been kind of quiet in terms of maybe some on-ice leadership-type plays like that. So yeah. Huge from Kane, you know, who hasn't slowed down at all this season, and a big play from Keith a couple games ago, and I think they are starting to find their groove. They are starting to play better as a unit.
Well, and we'll get to some of the who's contributing and who's not conversation in just a couple of minutes. Now, you know, I'm not going hook, line, and sinker right here yet. It's definitely encouraging, the 5-1 victory at Detroit before the break, as well as the 2-1 victory in Nashville on Tuesday after the break, because that's a completely opposite narrative of these two other breaks that the Blackhawks have had so far this season. But I look back on it, and the Blackhawks have had only one win streak longer than two games so far this season. That's where they're standing right now. And now the only one longer than that was the five-game stretch where I think they had tight games at home against the likes of Buffalo and Arizona and then Florida as well. And then they had some more impressive victories over Minnesota and Winnipeg before. You know, all of a sudden it seems to go away just like that this season with a roller coaster ride that they've been riding. I still want to see some evidence as they head to Vancouver on Thursday, and you hope that you know, some of these Canucks aren't turned into Wayne Gretzky like Thomas Vanek was the first trip in there, and Brock Besser, the All-Star MVP, the rookie All-Star MVP. They had huge nights in that first game. Ironically, after the Christmas break, which Forsberg took the net when Corey Crawford went on the injured list, this will be an opportunity for him to feel a little bit better about himself, but the Blackhawks' overall game has to be a whole lot better this trip into Vancouver than it was last time, because we've just seen these inconsistencies all season long. I want to believe. I still want to see a little bit more evidence, too.
I agree. And yeah, also with Vancouver, they kind of helped the Hawks out last night, keeping Colorado just 1 point.
Yep.
You don't want to see them get any, but keep them the one.
Yeah, and they had blown a 2-0 lead. Colorado storms back to take a 3-2 lead, and then Vancouver forces overtime and then wins it. And as we record this right now, some question in terms of Nathan MacKinnon's health, because he took a shot behind the net, and some people thinking it may be a head injury, others a shoulder injury. That seemed to be where the contact came. But if they lose Nathan MacKinnon for any period of time, that's certainly going to be interesting. Now, concerning last night's game, let's go to some of our fan questions. And again, we encourage you to tweet us. It's at Scott King Media, or tweet me at Bowden Tweets. And we'll try and let you know when we have a new Blackhawks Crazy podcast coming up. But on our Facebook, Paul Berry, what's his nickname again?
Paul Berry Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Fan of Blackhawks Crazy.
That's listener. Good. That's good. The inaugural member or no? No?
First member to our Hall of Fame.
Paul was wondering, watching last night's game, much better effort, he said, for a good portion of the game. What's causing our defense and sometimes forwards to turn the puck over in our own zone or fail to clear with a clear possession? I counted 10-plus times in the third period alone. I'm not exactly sure how to answer that other than Nashville pinned their ears back and was really putting heavy loads of pressure, as evidenced by those 22 shots on goal in the Blackhawks zone in that third period, trying to get the equalizer. The Blackhawks were able to withstand that, but sometimes you're just going to get that. And some of these frustrating Blackhawks losses, you know, they're buzzing in the opposing team's end all the time, you know, looking to get back in a game or score the tying goal, and it doesn't go their way with a little extra pressure from, you know, the defenseman pinching in and trying to get involved offensively, and really more aggressive forecheck in Tuesday night's case, Nashville's part. You're going to run into that sometimes, and you're just going to have to try to be smart as possible with the puck in order to take care of it. I don't know if the Blackhawks did that to the T that they wanted to on Tuesday night, but at least Forsberg was able to step up and perform big and preserve that victory.
Yeah, defense was pretty active on the forecheck last night. I thought, how many times did you see Connor Murphy right by the net? Mm-hmm. And some big plays where he almost scored.
Sure.
And Estrosa great on the forecheck for the forwards, like you mentioned, Chris. I think, you know, a lot of the turnovers are kind of because the Hawks have had a rough time in neutral zone this season as well.
Yeah.
I think especially the D there, and you just got to win battles. And a lot of times it's not better just dump and chase. A lot of times you do want to carry the puck in and get a pass off. So I think some technical things they can do better in the neutral zone, and maybe they actually are starting to or have the last couple games.
Yeah, and that Nashville team is really – Nashville, Minnesota, you name it, a couple of these teams – you know, really have a formula to bottle the Blackhawks up through the neutral zone. It's been going on for a couple years right now, and I thought Tuesday night was probably the best job that the Blackhawks did, where, you know, since last year's regular season against that Predators team, you know, being able to cut through that and spend enough time. Granted, it didn't happen enough in the third period, but I think that was a real positive step. You don't know how these standings are going to end up. We still don't know whether the Blackhawks are going to make the playoffs at all. If they do, you kind of have to figure it's going to be one of the wild cards, and who knows, Nashville could be sitting there as a top seed or a two seed, you know, when all is said and done come springtime. So who knows? I don't know if that's an appealing matchup that the Blackhawks want to have.
You really have no idea what's going to happen.
Potential first round? Yeah.
Because the four teams in front of them for a wild card spot, where you figure one or two of those is going to lose a good amount of games. Not all four teams are going to win out or win a majority of their games. So you know, there's no telling if the Hawks can make a good push here and who they would play in the first round.
It's really incredible because, you know, even Nashville's players were talking about their frustration. Even though they're playing so well this season, they came into Tuesday night's game 6-0-2 in their previous eight games before the All-Star break. They still can't shake anybody there at the top of the standings, which, you know, could be influential in terms of home ice advantage in early rounds of the playoffs. You know, if they should happen to drop to a third seed in the Central or something like that, you know, they're not going to have home ice advantage. Certainly good enough to overcome something like that, but there's just this logjam has just been incredible. You know, and now we've been hearing about the Joel and everybody talking about, yeah, we need to get on a run. We need to get on a kind of run, you know, that Winnipeg has had lately, that Nashville just had, that Colorado went on with a 10-game winning streak, Dallas real hot for a while. Now you've seen the Avalanche and the Stars come back to the pack just a little bit, still leading the Blackhawks. But, you know, all of a sudden, after Tuesday night's action, I think, Colorado is out of the wild card. No, they're still in the wild card race because it's Winnipeg, Nashville, and St. Louis. It really gets confusing here. I can't even.
So you got to do some math. So you got to crunch some numbers.
And we saw
long division.
Calgary just had a 7-game winning streak, and now they have gone from top three in the Pacific as we speak here to out of the wild card race behind Dallas and Minnesota as we talk here on Wednesday afternoon. But continuing the narrative, first of all, we were praising Anton Forsberg, and good thing he has been coming up big. And then some of the numbers in his last three road games after that Nashville game, 4 goals against in his last three road contests, and he's allowed 2 or fewer goals in 5 of the last 6. The only one that kind of stuck out like a sore thumb in the wrong way was that game against the Islanders when they came back from two breaks ago. I know,
and it's not helping.
And it's been awfully confusing. But I don't think Jeff Glass has been horrible. I don't think Anton Forsberg has, save for the Vancouver and the Islander games. You've heard Joe Quenneville talk repeatedly about the goalies have given us enough of a chance to win this season. It's just the guys around him. And when the Blackhawks came back from the All-Star break on Monday, everyone, based on what was discussed last week, was expecting good news on Corey Crawford to at least travel with the team, try and get into that mode again here and coming back from his upper body injury. And from doing workouts last week to, you know, I don't know if Joel Quenneville necessarily wanted to call it a setback, but he still wasn't on the ice. And unfortunately, we're kind of still dealing with an open-ended thing right here in terms of Corey's return. They're still confident he can come back at some point this season and could be a vital cog. But I think, as we mentioned last week, you can't necessarily, once Corey does come back, if and when he comes back, you can't necessarily think it's going to be a slam dunk that he's going to pick up right where he left off. You know, there's some getting used to, even though he's a veteran goalie, there's some getting used to once he gets back into game action here.
Yeah, the good news with a goalie like him is he's positionally sound. That's how mm-hmm. his game is. He's not a goalie that relies on desperation saves. So he'll be in the right places. It's just a matter of finding that timing and rhythm when Crawford gets back. And the other good news is, yeah, I think Glass has been good. I think after Tuesday night's game, Forsberg looked great. I mean, that's some 22 shots in the third period, a lot of them quality chances, and mm-hmm. you know, 42 of 43 saves on shots, like you said, Chris. So I think the goalies are playing good enough where if they do some other things right that the team has to do that I think we're going to get to, they should have a good push to make. And to be honest, when Crawford was in, they weren't playing that great in front of him either.
Right.
It's not... It hasn't been the goaltending, especially not in long stretches this season.
Right.
You can't really just point a finger and say, oh, you know, they just need better goaltending. They need a better goaltender. That hasn't been the case. It's been mostly defensive issues, and I think Brandon Saad needs to be the offensive weapon he was expected to be.
Wow.
I think after Tuesday night's game, it's a nine-game pointless streak.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable, Scott, because fits and starts for Brandon Saad this season, for Jonathan Toews as well, a couple other guys. And you see in the Nashville game, it's David Kampf and Vinny Hinostroza scoring. In the Detroit game before that, Alex DeBrincat, granted, was on a line with Jonathan Toews after they mixed those things up. And Anthony Duclair contributing as well. But, yeah, Brandon Saad going through another one of these scoreless droughts. Taves himself has just 1 point in the last seven games. That came as an assist in that victory of Detroit. That after collecting 9 points in the previous five, when you're thinking, okay, these guys are finally snapping out of it. Some amazing numbers I saw published earlier in the week about Saad and Taves over the last 20 games are... Now, I'm not sure if all the listeners out there are into Corsi in terms of puck possession, shots given up in 5-on-5, and shots taken in 5-on-5. But over the last 20 games, Saad and Taves 1-2 in the NHL in Corsi, and that means positive shots taken as opposed to shots given up in 5-on-5 play. And Saad is third in the NHL this season in Corsi, with about 57% of shots taken over shots given up when he is on the ice in those 5-on-5 situations. And then he had one of his lowest ratings of the year in Nashville. And some of these numbers just don't seem to add up. You think it's positive one way, but then when it comes to the production, which the Blackhawks are going to sorely need from these guys if they're going to have to, if they're going to make the push in the playoffs, it just isn't there. And yeah, I'll take the goals, assists, and points over Corsi rating anytime.
Yeah, no. Absolutely. Like you said, the numbers, those Corsi numbers and possession numbers should yield more goals and certainly more points. I think a big problem is Saad only has 10 assists on the season. Mm-hmm. I think a big issue with, he has the puck a lot, as does Taves, but he's just not scoring enough. His shooting percentage is pretty low. It was 11.63% before Tuesday night's game. So you expect that to be a lot higher with a guy like him. And, you know, another scary number, he's pointless in 33 of now 50 games this year.
Wow.
So, yeah, kind of scary. And another kind of unfortunate number for him, only three more points than Panic at the time of the trade.
Wow.
So
yeah.
He needs to be better. And, you know, I think some of that is puck luck, and I think he will be better.
Alex DeBrincat, through Tuesday and coming into Tuesday's game against Nashville, had as many points this season as Jonathan Taves, 9 more points than Brandon Saad. Nick Schmaltz, whose play has been, I think, gradually, steadily improving throughout the course of the season, he picks up another assist on Tuesday night, and he's up to 16 points in his last 15 games. I mean, it's just amazing to me how they needed the kids to step up, and right now primarily it is the kids to step up during this important part of the season. After practice on Monday, I had a chance to visit with Jonathan Taves along with many other reporters, and he's been through such a grind over the past 10 years or so during this great Blackhawks run, playing hard games, deep games into the playoffs. Although the Blackhawks can't say that over the course of the last 2 years with those first round exits. So you're wondering, you think guys should be recharged and refreshed. Well, even then, Jonathan Taves, the captain, seemed to be scratching his head a little bit about what's going on and going through this experience of having to scramble for points this deep into the season just to make the playoffs.
I think every year you face different challenges. I've said that a lot, and this year's especially. And I think, I was kind of saying the same thing after our bye week, that, if you're at the top of your division, you can't feel comfortable either. So, it's really close the way things are in our conference and our division right now. I think things could be a lot different if we had some little things go our way. But it's been a long learning process for a lot of our young guys and our experienced guys as well. So I think as a team, we're going to have to pull ourselves out of it together. So it's going to be a fun process to try and overcome that hurdle.
Well, I don't know how fun it's going to be, but you could hear the wheels spinning in his head as he's giving us that response, saying, yeah, it's been an experience for the young guys. Oh, it's been an experience for the veteran guys, too, who aren't used to this. Blackhawks cruised into the playoffs last year. That could be a good thing. That could be a bad thing. In that case, it was a bad thing. And we have seen time and time again, especially in recent years, those teams having to fight and battle and scratch and claw their way into the playoffs. Usually that's a good thing, despite the seed, because they're already in that playoff mode. It happened with Nashville last year. Now the Blackhawks, if the kids continue performing as they have been so far, it's, some of the veteran guys who have been there before. We've, gone ad infinitum over some of Duncan Keith's numbers, some of Brent Seabrook's numbers as well. It's going to be up to them here to step up their game. We're at the 50-game mark as we record this. 32 to go. You have some climbing to do. I don't think, Scott, that they can make that climb without greater contributions from some of these guys.
Of course, yeah. Everyone needs to contribute across the board, and kind of what you were mentioning just now, I thought Kane said something really interesting last week that, they have to fight and claw their way to get those points now to get in the playoffs. But once they do, they would have been fighting so long that they're going to be hot. They're going to be hot going to the playoffs. So they could be, if things
are clicking, not exhausted.
No, I mean, that's a lot of energy they're going to have to expel to get into the playoffs. And they still have a lot of games, obviously. But once they achieve that, they would have been playing the right way and they could be a dangerous team to face in the playoffs. We need a lot of contributions across the board to do that. I think another thing we can get into, Chris, is Artem Anisimov on the dot. I mean, he's got to do a lot better than 10% like he did on Tuesday night.
Yeah, and the other thing is production from Anisimov. He had that hot stretch in November into early December when, he had a handful of goals matching up to as many games as he was playing, just 6 assists so far in the season. Now, granted, he was out, a good 3 weeks, I want to say, or so, with his injury. And
10 games.
Yeah, and by and large, the Blackhawks in the faceoff dot have been getting better from where they were early in the season, including last night when Tuesday night when they managed just 43% in the dot. They had gone 50% or more in 12 of the previous 14 games. So we're seeing an improvement of that. But what Troy is always quick to point out when I bring that up is it's situational faceoffs too. Those in your own end, you always have to rely on bringing Jonathan Toews in to get a draw, rush him off the ice so he gets some rest. Having another guy come on.
Does it remind you of the Hanzus days though? Take a faceoff and go right back.
Right, and he lagged behind the play, or just trying to lag his way onto the bench. But you realize what a valuable commodity that is, and if the Blackhawks, if we continue to see some improvement from some of the younger guys, I think David Kampf has been a big help as far as what he's been able to do on the faceoff dot. Nick Schmaltz, not so much. That's still a process here. But yeah, more of these veterans having to step up, and we'll see if Stan Bowman does decide to make a subtle move, if he's pushing all his chips in here come February 26th at the trade deadline or leading up to that, and he's going to make another acquisition. Maybe just a veteran guy who is good in the faceoff dots would be incredibly valuable. You might even want to rank that up with a puck-moving defenseman. But when all is said and done, if you're looking about shopping here with the standings the way there are and with only a handful of teams really out of the race from Buffalo to Arizona, you might be able to say a couple more teams here and there, but so many here as we head into February, they think they're in this thing, and it's going to be hard to find sellers too.
Yeah, it's a tricky time. I mean, they could get in the playoffs. They could not. It really could go either way with the Hawks right now. They think they can do it, but they're not just one good player away from a long cup run. Right. They need a little luck and they need to play the right way to get in. I think you just kind of roll the dice and hope they get in and somehow go on a run, or at least just keep going to the playoffs. It'd be the 10th consecutive year, I believe, they go on to the playoffs. So I think you don't want to trade away too much of your future. There's a lot of young guys that, even in Rockford, that are going to be in the lineup that they want to develop. And I think you've kind of seen that in the past, maybe too much, the way things have gone, where they've given away some guys, some prospects that they shouldn't have.
Yeah, and that's the tough decision for Stan, too. First of all, where are the standings? Secondly, how many sellers are out there to work with? Third, how many sellers have something that you would really want? And four, what is that cost going to be? Because, in order to make those trade deadline improvements or hoped for improvements, there's been a lot of draft pick sacrifice, a lot of young prospect sacrifice, although I don't think that's really jumped up and bitten Stan necessarily that much. Maybe Philip Deneau was maybe the one guy he had given up on a couple of years ago in that trade with Montreal, who's really turned into would have been a pretty solid player for Montreal. Yeah. A lot of the other younger players, haven't done so much. And we'll get to a couple of them concerning Rockford. We have a couple of questions on Twitter with that as well. But as we continue to roll on, let's talk about the schedule. And Patrick Kane was talking about this once he returned from the All-Star game and was at Monday's Real Quick Practice over at MB Ice Arena, because – After these fits and starts with what turned into a four-day Christmas break for the Blackhawks, followed by the five-day bye, which was followed by a four-day All-Star break here, in which there was no game action, now things really ramp up, and we'll really find out about this team. Starting on Tuesday night, they had 14 games in 26 nights leading up to the final Saturday in February. That's right ahead of the NHL trade deadline. And there is only one instance in which the Blackhawks in this stretch will have consecutive days off. That's coming Sunday and Monday as they return from Calgary from that game on Saturday and then have a rematch with the Flames. And Patrick Kane was just talking about how glad he is to finally play some consistent games without the schedule being broken up.
You know, I thought we had that break, then we only had four games, and then it's, you know, you get another break, so it'll be fun here to kind of get on a long stretch run here of games, really getting into game and pretty much playoff mode right now too, because of where we're at in the standing. So it'll be a fun little stretch of hockey, very important games too, so those are always fun.
Now, there's the word fun again. Jonathan used it. Now Patrick's using it. Fun, but pressure. And they're really going to have to step up here and show they can consistently beat some teams that on paper you think they should beat. You can't be losing to Vancouver 5-1 or 5-2 the last time you went in there. This Calgary team is another one that's scratching and clawing on its way to the playoffs. You get those guys a couple of times over the course of the coming week. And yeah, now it's up to the Blackhawks and some of these veteran players needing to step up and beat the teams that they have to beat in order to leapfrog in these standings.
If you want to hear guys talking about fun and competing, what better guys than your goalie, Forsberg,
mm-hmm.
who's probably going to get, I imagine now, a few more starts than Glass, the way he played Tuesday night.
And, well, you're always 60 minutes away, though, or 20 minutes, or 40 minutes away.
You never know, Joel.
But
and Kane, too. I mean, talking about him leading the way as a veteran, for him to be optimistic about this stretch is exactly what they need, and taking big hits to help make a good play, a scoring play like he did, and you know, having a good time at the All-Star game. You want to hear these guys being positive about what they're up against, because it is a lot. I mean, we're joking about them talking about fun here. I'm nervous for them and having to answer these questions even and to see, you know, what they have to overcome to get into the playoffs.
Oh, so the Twitter verses too during the course of games. I love sitting here on the have the tweet deck in front of me. And
do you think sometimes they're hard on the players?
Blackhawks are, you know, 1 minute it's crucify him, fire this guy, get rid of this guy, and the next
not Blackhawks Twitter. I think you must be talking about another
excited.
Team, not
everyone's
those guys.
All excited.
Not those guys.
I think that's kind of NHL wide too. It's the hockey fan in some of these people. Real quick, Joel has been through situations like this before in 06 and 07 in Colorado. His team finished 16-5-3 to race back into the playoff picture. They ended up falling 1 point short. Obviously, that's not going to be good enough for the Blackhawks and their fans if that happens this year. But again, turning it on when they needed to. And let's not forget in 2011 when, you know, the dark clouds were forming, I think they're... How long was that losing streak? I'm trying to remember.
Nine
games in February, and the Blackhawks are sitting there trying to defend their cup. After all that roster turnover, by the way, as we speak about roster turnover on this team right now, they were 28-22-5 at one point. They go on to finish 16-7-3. They were on the brink of missing it when, on the final day of the season, Dallas needed to win against a lowly Minnesota team up in the Twin Cities. And the Wild knocked Dallas off, so the Blackhawks end up getting into the playoffs by 2 points. And you may hear references to it from years past, but perhaps one of the more entertaining Joel Quenneville conference calls after because I think Joel was giving up on the dream, and then all of a sudden the Minnesota Wild pulls off the upset against the Dallas Stars. And Joel was feeling no pain. He was a happy man on that teleconference, one of the more entertaining ones. That's right. He was expecting to be on vacation at that point.
You guys interfered with his vacation.
That's right. Well, I got news for you, Joel. That's what we said at the time. You're not on vacation anymore. You're in the playoffs.
Yeah, punch in, sir.
Yeah.
Now, I remember that Minnesota-Dallas game because I remember reading and kind of following along on Twitter that Minnesota was playing its equivalent of Rockford, its AHL team,
right,
because the game didn't mean anything. You want to get some guys some NHL minutes, and they took it very seriously and knocked Dallas out, and Kane said he got off the plane when he heard and called his barber,
got
the mullet going,
yeah,
and they forced the game seven with Vancouver.
Steps in the side. Maybe that's – has he done that the last 2 years?
No, he hasn't. Said he's too old now, he thinks.
Maybe that's the key to things right here.
Maybe he should do it now since they have to play playoff hockey now. See how we respond to that.
I think so. And, you know, we haven't brought up – before we get to – I think there's one or two questions about Rockford here before we sign off. Obviously, if they're going to do this too, we can talk all we can, but tied in with the best players starting to contribute and be more productive is the power play as well. And again, that has not been fun to watch all year long. They had a couple of ones that could have potentially killed some momentum in that game Tuesday night against Nashville. I don't know. In Nashville, they have the textbook kind of power play, especially at home. And they went into that game converting 31% in the power play at home. And the things that they do and are able to do, and they have a couple of big shots from the blue line that certainly help causes as well. It was, the Blackhawks did survive the one penalty that was called against them in the third period and for the game, for that matter. But it's dangerous when they don't score a power play goal. And I think they came in third in the league at a 24% clip. The Blackhawks down the stretch here, they cannot afford to be at 15.5% or that's where it's been hovering of late. If there's a miraculous way to try and gain more production on that power play, that's certainly going to go a long way in getting this team into the postseason.
Yeah, well, you saw them work on it at practice for a long time last week, and then the next game.
A couple
game,
different looks, too.
Yeah, right. Some drawn up some plays on a power play. And then the next game, you have Seabrook score right away on the first power play. I think he kind of skated up just outside the slot, and they got him the puck. So that was a play they drew up. So, yeah, if they spend a little time on it in practice, draw up some specific plays where guys can get open and score, you will see a better look there. And also on special teams, I thought you and Troy had a great discussion going down a stretch here about how they have to be disciplined now. Now every minute matters. Every point matters. They can't be in the box given the team other looks on their power play. So I think that's a huge thing, and hopefully you see that from the Hawks. A
couple of questions before we sign off here via Twitter, and they're both concerning John Hayden at the Rockford Ice Hogs. And if you're curious, I was looking up some numbers as the Ice Hogs and the rest of the AHL hit their all-star break. And some of the guys who have recently gone down from the Blackhawks to Rockford, here are some numbers as the Ice Hogs get back into action from their AHL all-star break on Friday night. John Hayden in 9 games, 3 goals and 8 points. Cody Franzen has 4 assists in the 9 games he's played so far. Tanner Carroll has really stepped up his game of late there. 6 goals, 13 points in 22 games as he got off to a slow start following his demotion. And then a lot of people call this guy the career AHL guy, Adam Clendenning, who was reacquired with Anthony Duclair in the trade with the Arizona Coyotes. He has 8 points in 8 games down there so far for the Ice Hogs. Not sure this defensive core is going to be tough to crack in terms of Glendenning making any kind of impact. Clendenning, I should say. But those are some of the numbers there. And the Twitter questions, at GenZ75, Hayden playing well for the Hogs. How soon, if at all, do you see him coming back? And at Millionth Man on Twitter also asking about Hayden, if the Hawks would trade Boma for a draft pick. Certainly, Hayden, a little more upside, providing the same type of things, albeit less experienced right now. Hayden just needed to get down there and play. I wouldn't, put him coming back up, certainly out of the question. I think there's a good chance of that. I'm not sure what you'd be able to get for Lance Boma. It'd probably be a pretty low draft pick if they decide to exchange Hayden for Boma, although Boma hasn't even been in the lineup the last couple days. But of everyone down at Rockford right now and the guys that I mentioned, Hayden would seem to be the most likely guy to come back after, again, heavy playing time, 9 games down there after he was only averaging about 10 minutes or so up here.
Yeah, it's a good question because I don't see him coming back really unless there's an injury or two, and you hope there's not, because the fourth line is playing well now. I think Yurko has been very effective on that fourth line and looked really good and made some great plays since he's been back with the team. So Hayden, I like his overall game a lot. I've liked him since he's been in a Hawks uniform. I think he has the capability to be a good two-way player. Obviously, you need those guys who are hard on pucks and very tough and will just drop the gloves and stick up for their teammates, and I think he does all that.
Yeah, until that door is open with one or two of these players, if you hit a rough patch or something, Joel, we know, isn't shy about switching some things up. So, now you have Patrick Sharp being scratched for a couple of games. You have Lance Boma being scratched for a couple of games. Joel's just going to roll with whatever combo is working, both defensively and
winning,
the forward lines. So, until somebody's play individually steps back, we might not see one of those other guys rotate back in or even make a call down to Rockford or John Hayden. But again, he has been playing well so far. Any final thoughts here before you're off to to Grand Geneva, and we wrap up this edition of our Blackhawks Crazy podcast.
I'm already there. Thanks for listening. You're old. Everybody.
Check it out.
No. Thank you for coming in, Chris.
Have a good time, and it's always fun. Look forward to doing this. So we'll reconvene at some point next week, and hopefully there are a few more Blackhawks victories to talk about. As you know, on the road, they are 5-0-1 in their last six contests. I think that's dating back to the Vancouver game right after Christmas. So we're anxious as anybody to see if the Blackhawks can keep this going right now. And who knows, by the time you listen to it, you may have your answers if this is a little bit later on in the week. But we want to thank you all for joining us here. Follow along on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page at facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy for everything Hawks, including Scott's Chelsea blogger blog. And follow me and Scott on Twitter again. It's at Bowden Tweets and at Scott King Media. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a review. I want to thank Brett Jackson for coming in, spinning the dials for us, lighting up the sound bites. Brett always does a great job. And you do too, Scott. So
Have a good trip.
And we'll talk to you next week and hopefully talk about a couple more Blackhawks victories. Thanks for joining us, everyone.